You're listening to Writing Snippets, the podcast about writing. Your hosts for today are...
Jocelyn.
Lily.
Tristy.
Lauren.
Ava.
Welcome to Writing Snippets. Today we are talking to Tristy Pinkston about editing and authoring, and you have done both.
I have.
You have also been a bigwig editor in a pretty sizable publishing company. So, what are some unforeseen complications that you discovered when you got signed for a book deal?
Unforeseen complications. The complications I ran into were more along the lines of wishing that there had been more marketing or wishing that I'd had a little bit more support from my publisher. My first publisher was very good people, but they're pretty small. And so they didn't have the marketing prowess of a larger house. And so that was a thing I ran into there. There were also some editing issues. I never really, myself personally, been edited until my last release, and that was book number 6.
So what's the difference between being an editor and being an author being edited by an editor and being an editor editing the author?
It's kind of funky. Last night I was thinking about this, because I had a client who was being a little uppity. And the problem is, when you're an editor, you've studied your craft. You kind of know what you're talking about by this point. And I always have research books up, or you know, my Merriam-Webster is up on my on my desktop monitor, so that while I'm editing, I can be looking up and double-checking everything I'm doing. So when I make a correction, I know I'm right. I don't just make corrections because I think I'm right. I look it up and then I know I'm right. And I had an author get a little, well, that's just the way, you know, it should be. And I stopped and I thought, I wonder if I've ever sounded like that to my editor as an author.
My story!
Because authors tend to be very, very graspy about our work. Don't change that sentence.
It's very protective.
It was artistic. Don't mess with my art, you know? If you take that sentence, you are ripping out my heart and soul. And then as editors, you're going, but the sentence stinks, and it's got grammatical issues, and you're totally throwing the reader out of the story. It needs to go. And then the author's all... I shall never write again. You have just ruined the entire process for me. And so I've seen it from both angles, you know, and I've not had too many run-ins personally. I did have one set of edits where I did go back and argue with the editor because she was wrong and I was right. But I really was. I wasn't protecting my baby. It was like actual documented, provable, Merriam-Webster friendly things upon which I was right and the editor was wrong.
You've completely just scared me. If I can't trust an editor, I am at loss.
Well, this is where you do your research, and if they suggest a change to you that doesn't feel quite right, you can look it up and see. And the internet is such a fabulous resource to discover, you know, what's right and what's wrong. And so,
but then you have to remember it later.
And that's where the problem. Well, you know, I never shut down my Merriam-Webster window. It's always up. And so if I don't remember something, I just look it up again.
Very cool.
It's all good. So, but yeah, that's been interesting for me to make that mental shift. And last night I almost sent my editor a note and said, have I ever been uppity with you? I am so sorry. If I have, I just beg your forgiveness. So, yeah, it is very different because authors are sensitive and they're protective and they feel that everything they've written was inspired by God to be written.
They've poured their heart and soul into their words.
They have, and sometimes they take it a little bit too far and feel that their vital internal organs are connected to those words, and any change you make sends them into instant hemorrhage. And so... But the editor's job is to take what they've done and make it better. And sometimes the author can't see that because they are so connected to it. And I've had to work with some authors on very gently walking them through. It's okay. I'm going to hold your hand now. Look, here's the scary part. Put your hand over your eyes. You can do this. this. And
delete.
They do eventually come to a place of understanding what I mean. But a lot of that has to do with trust. You know, like you're talking about trusting your editor. It comes down to a lot of knowing if the change is just like an arbitrary personal taste thing, or if there's an actual grammatical reason for the change. And so what I do when I edit is when I take something out, I put in the comment box why I made the change. Mm-hmm. And I think that helps them to understand that it wasn't just, I feel like we'll take out all the A words today. You know, that it's not just this random change I'm making, but yeah, there's a reason for it. And I think that helps to establish trust. But no, it is very different. It is very different. And for me to be edited, it almost kind of runs into an ego thing, because I'm like, well, I'm an editor, so my manuscript should be perfect. It should be flawless. There's nothing wrong with this. And then to get my edits back, and it's like, oh man, I'm stupider than I thought I was. But that's only because we can't see our own mistakes.
Yeah.
We can get it to a certain point ourselves, but that's why we do groups.
Yeah, you know, that's a good reason for writing groups.
That's why we have
other people. When I can do that, that's when I need it.
My poor writer's group.
We love you, Lillian. You're so cool.
I'm dyslexic, so my sentence structure will go backwards sometimes, and I can't see it at all. And it makes complete sense to me. I mean, I could say there was too many sinks in the dishes, and it makes complete sense to me. Mm. But everyone else has to, okay, that's not right.
Her characters, though, just leap to life. So, anyway, okay.
Thank you.
That was a compliment. What did you do before you became a writer?
Wash lots of dishes. Change lots of diapers.
Did you consider writing before you got married, before you became a mom?
I knew I wanted to do it at some point.
So like in your back brain? Mm-hmm. Just
I'd kind of done it my whole life, mm-hmm. and I knew I wanted to do it at some point, but I thought that point would be after I had my kids. And so it was always a goal. It was always something I wanted to do.
Something in your head.
I didn't think I'd be doing it right now, but, you know, life sometimes throws stuff at you that you didn't expect, mm-hmm. and this is just where I plopped when I landed, so.
Okay, so you've written historical fiction.
I have.
You've written mysteries.
Uh-huh.
You're working on a chick lit.
Yes.
What else?
Cookbooks, as we were discussing. Okay. Let's see, anything. I don't have any plans to write horror. I don't have any plans to write erotica. That's not true. I was about to say I don't think I'll ever write a Western, but it just occurred to me that I do have a plot. I'll probably turn into a Western.
Historical fiction.
Oh,
yes.
Civil War era, actually, which I've never done before.
What are your writing strengths and weaknesses?
Strengths are, I'm a really good channeler for voices from the other side. No, I don't know. I don't know where the voices come from, but my characters in my current series, The Secret Sisters Mysteries, they are real people.
They are so strong.
And they live in some alternate universe somewhere, and then they talk to me.
See? It does happen.
So
it sounds a lot better from coming from a published
author. Yeah.
It just means more people will be aware of it when I'm incarcerated in the loony bin.
She's allowed.
She has permission
to be a lunatic. I'm just lunatic.
Well, we're all lunatics. We just don't go around announcing it to everyone.
Well,
until now.
But that's the thing about being a writer, is that you are a lunatic. And you should embrace it.
You heard it first here, folks.
embrace your looniness. Padded walls can be beautiful.
Oh, and comfortable.
And they can be. Just snuggle right on up.
And there are no dishes
anywhere.
Yeah, you know, there are benefits. So, characterization is a strength for me. My weaknesses are, I have had people tell me that they'd want just a little bit more. And my tendency is, I want to get in, tell my story, get out. And so I'm learning how to enrich and to give more. But it's hard for me.
That's something, I hope you don't mind me saying this, that's something that I saw with Agent and Old Lace,
uh-huh.
where I wished there was more. It seemed like the story just moved so quickly,
uh-huh.
and the details weren't there.
Well, just real quickly to tell you what happened with that, I had submitted Secret Sisters to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I had written Ancient and Old Lace a long, long time ago. And I'd published some books in the meantime and learned quite a bit. And a friend of mine had, a Cedar Ford author, had been telling them about me. And she had wanted to see Ancient and Old Lace, so I sent it over to her. She forwarded it to them. And they said, oh, we want this one right now. And I said, but it's not done. I mean, I wrote it years ago. It's not done. And they said, oh, but we want it right now. And so it's a book that if I had to do it over again, I would do it over again. Yeah. I would flesh it out. It's a fun story. I had a lot of good experiences with it, but it's not the one that I would look at and say I'm the most proud of because it does need that. And, you know, you're very astute in picking that up in that it did need a lot more fleshing out. So that's one that, you know, if I were to have a do-over,
but some readers like that.
Some readers really like that.
So it's just, it's a matter of taste.
Yeah, it is a really quick read. It's about 170 pages, so if you don't have a long time to devote to a story, you
I
just
like
get
Secret
into that.
Sisters
so,
for that reason. Yeah. I just got into that story, and it was a quick read.
Your characters are so fun. I had a hard time putting it down.
Okay, what's the hardest thing about your writing? What's the most difficult for you?
I'm really hard on myself.
The guilt thing.
I have a lot of really high expectations for myself. And so when I sit down to write and it's not coming, I have a really hard time with that. I'll go to critique group and they'll find 3 things wrong. And I'll be devastated because they found 3 things wrong. Uh-huh. And, you know, I'm perfectly fine marking their pages up, you know. And even though, you know, they're all such exceptional writers and I'm really getting down to the nitpicky.
Yeah.
And so I really have to go looking sometimes to find stuff to mark up on theirs, but not, you know, I don't want to give the impression that they're really bad because they're actually awesome. I've got the most awesome critique group, but present company accepted. And so,
sorry,
but if they find 3 things wrong, I'm like having fits of vapors of guilt because I am really hard on myself.
I remember going through that too, where there's, and they were easy fixes when I actually sat down to do it, but it was just so monumental to me that, you know, maybe it was the prima donna author thing, where this is my story.
I'll never write again.
That's why Band-Aids were invented. Right? Yeah, we all go through that though. We all go through the, this is my special thing, but for me it's more of a, I can't believe I took such a rotten, terrible, and so... But yeah, that would be one of the hardest things.
I look at it now as an opportunity to improve and to learn. Mm-hmm. The learning is just, it's just amazing to me, the things that I'm able to start to pick up on. Mm-hmm. I just love it. What are some of your writing pet peeves?
Writing or editing?
No, we'll get into that. We'll get into that.
Just to clarify, things I do that bug me or... I get into ruts of using the same words over and over again. That drives me insane when I do that.
Do you have a favorite word you find that you use a lot?
I'm rooting those out, but I have had those.
Mine is very was.
You know, I did a presentation for the League of Utah Writers this morning, and we're talking about self-editing, and we discussed that there are times when you need was.
Oh, yeah.
And then there are times when you must get rid of it. My third book, Season of Sacrifice, I had Annette Lyon read it for me. She found about 30 was's on one page. Oh. I didn't know I had that problem. This is my third book, and by the time you're on your third book, you're like, I'm so cool. I know what I'm doing.
I was having that problem.
You're like, exactly. You're like doing the John Travolta strut, you know, I'm all cool. And then somebody says, did you realize you have this problem? And you're like, beg. And so she went through.
I didn't even know that was the problem.
Exactly. So she went through and she highlighted all the was's for me on this one page. And I looked at that and I, okay. So that was really, really educational.
I've started going through my own work and highlighting L-Y's. Was, ing. If I find repetitions, I'll highlight them. And then when I go through again, I can see those things and I can see how often I use them. Mm-hmm. And it's really, an education to figure out mm-hmm. what you need to change, what you need to fix.
You also got
to
watch your ofs and your thats. Mm-hmm.
And has-beens or has. Mm-hmm. I've run into a lot of those, yeah. too.
Was's are more of a problem than has-beens, though.
Okay, all right. Submission pet peeves. You were an editor. Uh-huh. Besides the please follow submission guidelines, what are some of your submission pet peeves? What were some things that really bothered you
when people submitted stuff? The first thing that comes to mind is when I would read a manuscript, I'd feel as though the author hadn't even proofread it. It would come through with no punctuation or half the punctuation, spelling mistakes all the way through, really poorly typed, not arranged well on the page. I saw something not too long ago where the author had actually gone in and done a change, and then they hadn't accepted it. So it was in track changes, so it was red, mm-hmm. and then the word next to it was crossed out. I'm looking at that, and I'm going, I don't think this is the version they meant to send, because I'm still seeing editing marks in here. So one thing that I really encourage people to do is make sure you're sending in your very, very, very best work. You know, and if punctuation isn't your strength, give it to a friend who can punctuate. So that when it comes across the editor's desk and they're looking at it, they don't feel like you just... I mean, it's kind of like going to the grocery store and you've just rolled out of bed. Yes, I have done that. And your hair's sticking up all over the place and you're still in your pajamas. You got a little roll of drool in the corner of your mouth. That's what it's like to send in a manuscript that has those mistakes in it. It's almost embarrassing. It's like, go change your clothes. You know? So that would be my number one thing, is feeling like the author wasn't taking my time seriously,
or taking care enough to...
Yeah, or taking them their own selves seriously to put in that extra time and effort just to give the best copy that they could.
One of my novels came in second place in a contest, and I got feedback from the contest. They said, it looks like you haven't proofread this at all. Mm. And I was like so offended by that, because I went through it over and over. And my family looked at it. It must have been really bad to begin with. But, you know, I got some pocket change out of it.
Okay. Pocket change is
pocket
good.
Change is always good.
So to the dyslexic writers out there, find an editor. We'll edit it before you send it to the editor.
And to the dyslexic writers out there is hope, because she got a prize. She got cash.
Sure. It was cash. It was very nice.
It makes a jingling sound. It's all good.
Okay, you have a blog. Has writing and keeping up on your blog affected your writing time or your writing attitude?
Your other jobs?
I actually look at my blog as being part of my job, because it is such an effective marketing tool. If you are trying to get published and if you're trying to get yourself a readership, you need to have a blog. And I tell people that the difference between a blog and a website, think of your website as like your job resume. That's where people can find out your facts and figures. Think of your blog as being like the personal interview, where people can get to know your personality. And so through your blog, you're showing people who you are, and then they're, oh, I kind of like her. I want to see what she's written. Mm-hmm. And so the blog for me is just an extension of everything else that I do. And it gives me a chance to interact with readers and with friends. And it's a good place for me to vent. I do lots of venting on my blog. And it's also not terribly structured. I mean, one day I may blog about my kids. And then another day I may blog about writing. And then another day I may blog about ranting and raving again, because I like to do that. And so, but it's just, it's very centered on who I am. And that's what you want your blogs to be. Because when you are marketing your book, you're not just marketing your book, you're marketing yourself.
Yes.
And so it's all part and parcel of the same thing.
And you want to market yourself. Mm-hmm. You want to be the brand, not have the book be your brand.
Exactly. Yeah, because you want to write other books.
Right.
That's right.
You want to have a following that follow you, not your book.
Exactly. And like we're talking about writing in so many different genres, you know, you see my name on a book, and even if it's a completely different genre, because you know you like me, you know there's not going to be something in the book. Well, there may be something in the book that totally bugs you, but you're not going to be offended by anything in the book, because you already know who I am, etc. And it's the same thing like with my Facebook account and those other things. Those are all part of marketing for me, and so they all kind of fall under the same umbrella. Blogging does help keep my writing attitude good, because of the positive feedback. that you get when you blog, and it's a very synergistic thing. When you post something and then you get the comments, and you're like, I don't stink today. Somebody out there does love me.
I need that.
You know, so it's a very good thing. But so from a marketing standpoint, from getting name recognition, etc., I really recommend that everybody get a blog.
Well, and don't just start a blog and then not network.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because you'll just be the only one reading it.
Yeah. Exactly. Visit other blogs, get to know the other bloggers. Don't go on there and say, well, you should come visit my blog. like door-to-door salesmanship on blogs. You know, go there and make a positive comment about that person's blog. And then they'll say, oh, that was such a nice positive comment on my blog. I'm going to follow them back and see who they are. And I have made some exceptionally good friends through the internet doing that, just blog hopping. And, you know, these are women that I email off the whole blog circuit, and we chat about different things, and I've never met them, but they're my good friends. So blogging does become a good way to make friendships.
So do you blog every day?
No.
Do you have a set schedule you blog?
No. I'm kind of a see where the wind
takes me. You're my hero.
Kind of girl. I do blog regularly. Okay. Don't follow my example in this. I actually have several blogs. Some of them I need to shut down, but I'm kind of blog addicted. I'm kind of addicted to lots of things, but blogging is one of them. I blog professionally for families.com, so I actually get paid for those blogs, which is awesome.
Ooh.
And then I blog my author blog, and then I have a writing challenges blog, and I have a weight loss blog, which you can tell by looking at me how I haven't done much with for a long time. And I have, you know, various different blogs on different topics. And, you know, I'll blog on each, depending on what my groove is that day. As far as an author blog, you really want to update it at least once a week. But if you can do twice or three times, that's even better.
Okay.
But to really get that following going, people want to have new content. And if they come to your blog every day for a month and they never see anything new, they're going to stop coming back.
It's true. I took a break for a year from my blog and lost a lot of my followers.
Yeah. Because, you know, they want food. They're like little cheapy birds.
They don't see you. They forget about you.
Exactly. So keep that content
going.
There's
so many more out there.
Yeah. And I will sometimes, if I'm feeling particularly talkative, which I think you know I am talkative, I will write several at a time and then just post them and then arrange the times to pop up. So it looks like I'm actually blogging more often than I am.
That's awesome.
Love the post-scheduled posting. It's good stuff.
Okay, well, we'll stop there.
Okay.
And we'll have you for another interview.
That will be awesome.
That'll be great.
I'd appreciate that.
Well, thank you. You were listening to Writing Snippets.
No words were harmed in the making of this podcast. Go to www.writingsnippets.com for more podcasts.